The name Yaroslav Price does not create many ripples when it is thrown out today. Perhaps one Czech in 100 could identify who he was. But at the birth of Czechoslovakia and in the 1920s and 30s, Price was an economic and business colossus and contributed to making the country into a major industrial player between the wars. Chris Johnstone looks at the life of the controversial figure.
At one level, the life of Yaroslav Price is a classic rags-to-riches story of the man from a modest family who made good. At another, the wheeling and dealing of the man who headed Czechoslovakia's biggest bank, Živnostenská banka, and the industrial empire it created, reads like a who's who and what's what of the interwar era. Strangely, though, for a man who made such a splash at the time in the media, business, industry, politics and the economy, his name does not trip off the lips today, and that has a lot to do with the enemies he made as well, first amongst them the Czechoslovak Communist Party. Ilona Bajantova is a lecturer in law and economics at Prague's Charles University.
Generally, it is said that Yaroslav Price was one of the most influential men during the first Czechoslovak Republic. It is certainly true that he was in charge of Živnostenská banka. But his influence dates from the birth of Czechoslovakia. He was not just a banker, he influenced the functioning of the state, at least at the start of the republic, from an economic perspective.
Price was born in 1870 in a small town a few kilometers south of the West Bohemian city of Pilsen. But the family moved soon after to Domažlice, where he grew up. His father was a modest legal official. After excelling at school, Yaroslav went to Prague to study law, but he did not follow in his father's footsteps. At university, he marked himself out as a leader among a growing band of Czech nationalist students, and thanks to one of the professors of national economy there, stepped into a job as a journalist with the newspaper Narodni Listy at the turn of the century. The paper and its economic correspondent, Yaroslav Price, pushed the line of greater Czech industrial and economic power. Price quickly realized that the road to that came from finance, pointing out the uncomfortable truth that Czech business at the time was mostly stashing its profits in Vienna bank accounts, which allowed them to decide how and where it was used. That realization, together with his growing activity, creating associations for Czech industry, such as the groupings of textile and engineering companies, brought him to the doorstep of the Czech bank Živnostenská banka, which at the time was mainly targeting small businesses. He got a job as a journalist with the bank's weekly financial paper, the first such Czech paper, and a few years later was offered posts within the bank itself, dealing first with mortgage and then industrial loans. Price was already part of an influential group of Czech nationalists that became leaders of an independent Czechoslovakia, and like them, he showed during World War I that he was prepared to pay a price for independence.
The whole group around Alois Rašín and Karel Kramáš during the First World War agitated against Austria or Austria-Hungary. In the end, Price was imprisoned for a stand against Austria-Hungary, and the whole group was sentenced to jail. So Price proved that he was willing to fight and perform sacrifices for Czechoslovakia and his idea of freedom.
While Kramar was the first Czechoslovak Prime Minister and Rašín the first Minister of Finance, Price stuck with the bank where he had already been symbolically made director. Here he began to create an economic powerhouse, greatly helped by a law which he helped frame, which ensured that the domestic economy was in local hands.
půlce 20. nebo ke konci 20. let.
In the mid to late 1920s, Živnostenská banka had a decisive economic influence. Through shareholdings, it owned around half of industry, and where it did not have shares, it had loans outstanding with major businesses. It is said that some of this stemmed from the fact that Price took part in the formulation of, or rather jointly formulated, the so-called nostrification norms, which came into effect at the start of the 1920s and which called for the Czechification or Czechoslovakization of the industrial sector.
Ilona Bažantová explains how the law worked in the bank's favor.
All big shareholder companies which were not based in Czechoslovakia had to create a headquarters there or give up their Czechoslovak shares. So in this way, industry really became Czechoslovak, and in this way, Živnostenská banka became an industry flagship.
The bank pulled strings in almost all the country's biggest industrial companies, the only real exception being engineering and arms giant Škoda Pilsen, and that was not for want of trying. On the political stage, Price made less impact, partly due to his links with the National Democrats, a party that began losing power and influence almost as soon as it gained it. Throughout most of the interwar period, the Agrarian Party and left-leaning parties were often in control, with the National Democrats gaining few seats and being seen as the voice of big business. The party lost even more influence, and Price, a personal friend, when Alois Rašín was assassinated in 1923. But Price still had some powerful contacts. These included the president, even though the two rarely saw eye to eye on basic questions of political philosophy.
In spite of this, Masaryk really appreciated Price as an expert, and he accepted him on account of his expertise. At the end, during the 1930s, Price was considered for some major functions, such as Minister of Finance. It was even considered that he might have been president under the Second Republic, though that job eventually went to Emil Hácha.
In the political field, Price also made enemies. The left-wing press described him as the shark from Živnostenská banka. Things were not helped by the fact that Price defended his fat cat wage and perks, rumoured to be around 18,000 crowns a day, as being fully merited. The communists hated him, and the feeling was apparently mutual. He also had a very prickly relationship with Czechoslovakia's second president, Edvard Beneš, and the governor of the National Bank, Karel Engliš. During the Depression, Price came to despair ever more of Czechoslovak governments who did not get to grip with the economy, and to admire the success of Hitler's Germany, which he believed did. He was hardly alone in underestimating Hitler, taking the same line as his industrialist friends in Germany, that the Nazi leader could be controlled. But it was ahead of the Munich Agreement that Price got into trouble. He took a totally different line from President Beneš, saying the Czechoslovak state should come to terms with the Sudeten Germans before the terms were forced on the country from outside. Beneš helped make the domestic dispute international, and, as Price warned, an international settlement was imposed. But Price's advocacy of a deal was used against him after World War II, when the communists already were consolidating their hold on the country. He had already stepped down from being the director of the bank before Munich in 1938, but remained in some key positions. When the Nazis took over the country, he refused to cooperate. He was investigated three times by the Gestapo, and on one occasion fined 5 million crowns for sabotage, a charge that could have carried the death penalty. Victory over the Nazis came at a cost for Price, as the communists were intent on getting revenge on their adversary from the First Republic. They wanted to disgrace his reputation as one of the Munich traitors.
komunisté po roce 45 se velmi snažili na něj najít.
The communists tried really hard after 1945 to find some sort of scandal that could show that he became rich in an underhand way or through breaking the law. And in spite of all their attempts, they did not find anything. So we can say that he did not misuse his positions for any personal gain. In this way, I think we can describe him as a very decent and honorable man.
He was detained from the end of May 1945, and in spite of his rapidly deteriorating health, repeatedly questioned. Soon after his release from one session at Prague's Pankrac prison, he died at his Smíchov home in April 1946. Charles University's Ilona Bajantova sums up his reputation, which is still overshadowed by the communist attempts to drag his name through the dirt.
Rais was behind the creation of the economic miracle that occurred in Czechoslovakia. In this perspective, we have great debt towards him. We are making some attempts to pay this back, but it is still not enough. We know more about American or British economic leaders than our own Czech or Czechoslovak ones. I think this is a mistake since we have nothing to be ashamed of.
Myslím si, že to je chyba, protože nemáme se za co stydět.
Ilona Bajantová was talking there to Chris Johnstone in this edition of Czech History.